From the Philippine Legislators Committee on Population and Development, this is SKL, the UHD podcast. SKL is a podcast channel launched by PLCPD that aims to engage stakeholders in discussion about human development issues and how they affect our daily lives. Policy recommendations for addressing such will also be discussed and put forward in these episodes.
Born a girl, I had no idea what that meant. As a child, I would play with Tamagotchi virtual pets. My pet would marry, the couple would dance, and an egg would hatch into a baby. In elementary, they taught us to stick napkins onto panties, how to roll up used ones, and tuck them neatly into scratch paper. Always bring scratch paper to the bathroom, my teacher said, so nobody sees your blood. In an issue of a religious magazine we read in class, a woman giving birth chose to die to let her baby live. Abstinence, my teachers insisted. Sex is for making babies. When I was in high school, our school made us watch a documentary called The Miracle of Life. It was an institution, a horror story older girls scared the younger ones with. You watch a woman give birth, they whispered. There's lots of screaming and lots of blood. I had to close my eyes. The worst part for me isn't that women are getting pregnant when they don't want to, or being forced out of school or work, out of a future. It's not the infant deaths or the maternal deaths in childbirth either. What I hate the most is that girls and women remain ignorant, when with the right information, all the statistics about teen and unplanned pregnancies, infant and maternal mortality, even child marriages, all those could have been prevented. Think about that. We're not living in the dark ages anymore. Science and the Age of Enlightenment have chased those dark shadows away. Our doctors do not drain our blood with leeches before surgery, and our priests do not demand freshly slaughtered lambs as sacrifice. So why do we insist on medieval reproductive health for our country's women and girls? When I went to college, an LGBT organization was giving out condoms. I once saw two pairs of feet in a bathroom stall in the ladies' restroom. I've seen more than my fair share of used condom wrappers littering the grass. Don't go to the lagoon at night, my classmates winked. Sex happened, I learned. It wasn't the sacred blessing bestowed upon a married couple by God, nor was it the stork's secret delivery of a baby. No cherubim singing, no golden light from the heavens. Sometimes it was your 16-year-old friend talked into giving an older boy a blowjob in the back of a taxi. Sometimes it was the classmate your blockmates whispered about, younger than you but already a father of two. Sometimes it was a girl you knew, showing you a Facebook conversation with her FUBU or fuck buddy. Sometimes it was an article online about a Filipino woman with 22 kids. They kept coming and coming, she said. Sometimes when I think about the miracle of life and maybe having to die for a baby I didn't plan on having, I think about how I was born a girl. If I had the choice, I think I'd like to have been a man, but you can't change the past, so I've decided it might be easier to live with being a woman. What can I do? As a woman, as a Filipina, as a student? I remember a hushed conversation in high school, in a garden tucked away from the nuns' eyes and ears. The topic, premarital sex. It's not like you're giving birth to the next Jesus, I said. I remember another conversation, a college friend talking about her sex life. You'll go to hell, a wide-eyed boy protested. I didn't speak up that time. Better informed does not mean brave. We need to be brave. We girls, we women, we youth. We have the world's farthest reaches of knowledge at our fingertips. We can connect to people and events across the world in milliseconds. We don't need to rely on our schools or our parents or our religious leaders for information anymore. We can educate ourselves. Google reproductive health. Read articles about how sex works and don't skim through the risks and possible consequences. Teen and unplanned pregnancies, HIV and other sexually transmitted diseases, infant and maternal mortality. What do they all have in common? Preventable, preventable, preventable. But not everyone has ready access to the internet. Moreover, even in our Google-connected world, not everyone can stumble upon this kind of information. You have to know what you're looking for before it shows up in your search results, after all. This is where the stakeholders come in. People and institutions with the skills, the passion, and the budget to make being a woman in the Philippines a little bit easier. The government is likely the most important. Even if you spend hours learning how to care for your reproductive health, what happens if you don't have access to health services and products? Millions of women experience this pain over the 2 years the Supreme Court wrongly blocked the reproductive health law from 2015 to 2017. Much-needed contraceptives were left to rot in government warehouses, while women were forced to give up what little control we have over our bodies. The private sector benefits from a healthy workforce, and women can't be productive if they're being more reproductive than they want to be. Large companies already provide their employees with comprehensive access to healthcare plans, and reproductive health services and products could easily be inserted into these already existing programs. Metro Manila is the non-government organization capital of the world, and reproductive health-focused NGOs and civil society organizations bridge the gaps between people and government. These organizations can help in counteracting anti-reproductive health lobbying, as well as in providing and distributing reproductive health services to the Filipinos who need them most. There's so much the average Filipina can do. There's so much that government, the private sector, and civil society can do. That's good, because there's a lot that needs to be done.
You are now listening to the second episode of SKL, the UHD podcast, brought to you by the Philippine Legislators Committee on Population and Development. Ako si Ao Kilala, isa sa mga advocacy and partnerships managers ng PLCPD. And today, we have special guests at mapalad tayo and we are so happy to have here with us young people, young women who are not only representing their sector but are themselves advocates and experts who will help us shed light on the important and serious matter that we are going to talk about. Makakasama natin ang She Decides Philippines Youth Champion, Jonna Turalde, at si Anzaira Rojas of the United Nations Population Fund. Good afternoon, Jonna and Zai, and thank you for joining us today.
Magandang hapon, Ms. Ao.
Good afternoon po,
Jonna.
Salamat sa pagpunta nyo dito ngayon, no? At natatandaan ko sa RH Bill, kasama na natin si Zai Neneng Nene pa siya. Ngayon, nasa UNFPA na siya at pinag-uusapan pa rin natin tong issue na to. So, isa tong patunay na ang issue na to ay matagal na na sitwasyon, no, na kailangang magkaroon ng urgent action. Salamat din kay Patricia Nicole Tan para sa essay piece na isinulat niya 2 years ago. 2 taon na, pero hanggang ngayon, damang-dama ko ang mensahe ng essay na sinulat ni Patricia. Children having children. Just hearing this three-word phrase lets us know that there's a problem kasi it doesn't compute, no? Paano ang mga bata ay magkakaroon ng sarili nilang mga anak habang sila ay bata pa lang? How can they have children on their own? Matagal na itong nangyayari at pinag-uusapan, but we believe that we have to continue talking about it until everyone takes a concrete action to finally and urgently address the situation. Para din sa kaalaman ng ating mga ka-SKL, here are some data and information related to the situation. Ito po ay galing sa authoritative sources mula sa Philippine Statistics Authority at iba't iba pang mga pag-aaral dito sa ating bansa. In the Philippines, 1 in every 10 young women 15 to 19 years old is already a mother or pregnant with her first child. And this only increases with age. Among the 19-year-olds, 1 in every 5 is already a mother. So that's 20%, no? 24 babies are born to teen mothers every hour. Ibig sabihin ito, 500 plus deliveries per day or more than 200,000 delivered by teen mothers annually. At sabi sa isang pag-aaral ng UPPI or the University of the Philippines Population Institute, a third or more than 30% of adolescents 15 to 19 years old have started having sex
Pero 78% sa kanila did not use any form of protection, whether from sexually transmitted infection or from pregnancy during their first sexual intercourse. Sinasabi naman ng data from the Philippine Civil Registry System na most of these pregnancies may have been a result of relationship with older men, sexual violence, early marriage, or a combination of all of these or some of these. At ayon sa health authorities, pregnancy and childbirth-related complications among 15 to 24-year-old women account for 22% of all maternal deaths in the country. Pagdating naman sa issue ng violence at home, sinasabi rin ng data mula sa National Demographic and Health Survey na those who are 15 to 19 years old are more at risk of physical violence at home while pregnant than any other pregnant woman of reproductive age. At ayon pa rin sa pag-aaral ng UNFPA at UP, 5,000 more adolescents will get pregnant as a result of the lockdowns imposed during the COVID-19 pandemic. Pero despite all of this, meron tayong mga batas. But the law limits young people's access to critical health services. And without sexuality education in schools, kahit na ito ay minamandato ng existing law, which is the Reproductive Health Law, young people are left in the dark. Hindi pa ito nangyayari. At malamang dahil din sa mga challenges ng Department of Education dahil dito sa nangyaring pandemic ay hindi natin makikita itong sexuality education na ma-implement within this coming school year. At lastly, tinawag na ng NEDA ang sitwasyon na ito ng adolescent pregnancy as a national emergency. So ganun ka kalala yung sitwasyon. So tatanungin ko ngayon si Jonna, as a young person yourself and someone who has been advocating for sexual and reproductive health and rights, especially of young people, sa maraming taon na simula nang nakasama ka namin dito sa community or sa movement na ito. Palagay mo ano yung mga factors that contribute to where we are right now?
Thank you, Ms. Au. Yung mga nabanggit niyo po kanina, it really resonates yung mga na-experience ko din bilang advocate ever since 16 ako. So ngayon, 22 na ako and it's still ongoing. Hanggang ngayon, pareho pa rin yung narrative na narinig natin and yung mga story na nalalaman natin, lalo na sa galing sa mga teenage mothers. So para po sa akin bilang kabataan din, no? It really starts at home na kailangan magkaroon talaga ng enabling environment sa bahay, no? At yung dynamics ng isang adolescent, ng isang young person sa kanyang mga magulang. And that is one of the main factors, yung na-enforce na values and morals sa bahay. And especially, pag pinag-usapan kasi yung sex and sexuality, isa yan sa mga hindi mo pag-usapan pag magkakasama kayo sa table eh. Magkakasama kayong kumakain, parang laging last or at least hindi talaga makausap yung mga magulang tungkol sa certain aspect na yan ng iyong life as a young person. And because of that, dahil hindi namin nahanap yung validation or yung usapin na to sa loob ng bahay, naghahanap kami ng other release, no, ng affirmation and validation. At napupunta ito sa kaibigan. So, yung ganitong mga issues and topics sa mga kaibigan natin karaniwan na pag-uusapan. And that really affirms na ito ay isang, that normalizes na ito ay isang issue na hindi mapag-usapan sa mga kamag-anak at mga parents. Kaya yun, kailangan, and this norm, it affects yung kultura natin, no, na as much as hindi ito napag-usapan sa bahay, nasi-sensor yung ganitong usapin. Kaya mas nagli-lean tuloy tayo sa mga conservative na choices kasi hindi ito allowed at home.
Mm-hmm.
And isa po sa mga na-experience ko, kagaya po nung nabanggit na data kanina, yung isang 16-year-old na teenager, ang karaniwang boyfriend ay malaki yung age gap sa kanila. So, 25 years old, yung huli kong nakausap, 25 yung boyfriend. And how they describe yung unang sexual encounter ay hindi sila aware na rape kung yun din i-describe nila. So, it really is one of the factors is yung violence. And this, and because of this, no, normative and narratives, kulang yung information and services na nareceive ng adolescent.
Aha, thank you, Jonna, for pointing that out, no. Yung una, yung kahalagahan ng environment sa bahay pa lang nag-uumpisa, and then sa buong society, no. At yun nga yung maraming hindi nakakaalam dahil hindi ito pinag-uusapan sa bahay, and yet wala namang tayong nakukuha na ng impormasyon. So napakahalaga nung sinasabi ng batas na kailangan merong sexuality education kasi siguro ang unang dapat maging source ng accurate information ay yung authorities natin pagdating sa edukasyon, so which is DepEd at yung mga paaralan. Unfortunately, hindi ito na ibibigay ngayon kahit na sinasabi ng batas.
Yes, totoo po yan. And I remember po yung mga na-interview ko before, this is around 2018, laging nadadagdag din yung mga salitang andyan na eh. Parang wala laging solusyon pag nabuntis ka, na parang laging walang next step. Parang laging, yun na yung end of the line. So kaya po talaga mahalaga na may isa batas na yung Adolescent Pregnancy Prevention Bill kasi ito yung karaniwang norm kapag community and teenage mothers yung kausap mo. Andyan na eh. Ayun.
Parang tinanggap na lang. Pero sa totoong buhay, at sa batas, dapat ay may karapatan naman yung mga kabataan no, sa critical services and information on reproductive health. At actually, ito ay isa sa mga panawagan natin na kapag naisabatas yung panukala on the prevention of adolescent pregnancy, ito yung isang malaking gap na masusolusyon na nung panukalang yon. Pero ito na, yun nga, sabi mo, andyan na yan eh. Ito na, nangyayari na eh. So, alamin naman natin from Anzaira or from Zai, kung ano yung mga impact ng adolescent pregnancy, una sa individual, on the young person herself, at siguro para din dun sa partner who is also a child sa batang ama na tinatawag. Ano yung impact nito sa kanilang development? Pero unahin natin doon sa young mother. Ano yung impact nito sa kanyang health? At sa pagtingin naman sa malawakang pagtingin, ano naman yung consequences nito for national development? Zai?
Maraming salamat, Miss Au. Lalo na kay Jonah, maganda yung mga binanggit ni John ng puntos kanina. Experiential at nakita talaga niya sa community. At gusto kong mag-jump off dun sa binanggit niya na andyan na eh, eto na yung sitwasyon eh. Pero ang isang malaking tanong, kahit na sa mahabang panahon nakakamit tayo ng teen moms or adolescent moms dahil nandyan na, at alam naman natin preventable ito, ang isang malaking tanong, bakit kulang pa rin yung mga ginagawa natin? Dahil napakalaki ng mga impact na na-experience ng isang adolescent mom kapag nabuntis siya sa edad na 14, 13, 17. At binanggit nga ni Miss Au kanina, meron ding impact yun dun sa partner niya, lalong-lalo na kung ang partner niya ay nasa edad 10 to 19 years old. At kung sasagutin ko po yung tanong ni Miss Au kanina, ang tanong niya, ano yung impacts at saka ano yung pangmalakwakang consequences, lalong-lalo na sa national development kapag pinag-uusapan natin ang teen pregnancy. Gusto kong ibahagi sa inyo, noong 2018, nakilala ko si Sam. So si Sam, 14 years old siya, grade 9 student. Mabait, masipag mag-aral, talented, at active sa school groups. At si Sam, ang tanging pangarap niya, alam niyo po yan, yung makapagtapos ng pag-aaral at ang dream niya or ang ambisyon niya ay maging isang piloto, babaeng piloto. So during this time, ng adolescent stage ni Sam, siyempre as expected, maraming pagbabagong nararanasan niya. Magmula nung 10 years old siya, hanggang magpapatuloy yun, hanggang 19 years old. So, yun yung tinatawag nating puberty stage. So, iba't ibang pagbabago patungkol sa biological, emotional, psychological changes. Lalo-lalo na isang kabataang babae at isang kabataang lalaki. Dito rin, sa stage na to, nagkaroon siya ng crush at nagkaroon siya ng jowa or boyfriend. So, naalala ko na yung kwento ni Sam, first boyfriend niya. Ang first boyfriend niya halos kaidara niya kasi kaklase niya. At habang, alam mo, Miss Awat, Jonah, habang nagbabago si Sam sa iba't ibang aspeto sa buhay niya, ang isang malaking tanong dito, hindi naman nararagdagan or nagbabago yung impormasyon na natututunan niya kung paano niya harapin yung day-to-day critical decisions patungkol sa relationship, actually, at saka lalong-lalo na sa sex. At dahil doon, nabuntis si Sam sa edad na 40 years old. So, ang story ni Sam, isa lang siya sa mga kwento ni John na kanina, na-meet ng PLCPD, si Miss Au, yung mga narinig natin, nakasalamuhan na natin, at natulungan na natin. Pero marami pang Sam sa Pilipinas ang tanging gusto lang yung makapagtapos ng pag-aaral actually. May pangarap sila at patuloy na mag-develop at ma-optimize yung full potential nila. At kanina binanggit ni Miss Au, no, 24 babies are born to teen mothers every hour dito sa Pilipinas. So araw-araw may 500 tayo na teen moms dito sa bansa natin. Pero dahil hindi sila handa sa loob ng bahay na binabanggit kanina ni Jonah, at hindi rin sila napaghahandaan sa loob ng paaralan. Maski yung lipunan natin, tumitigil ang kanilang kagustuhan sa pag-aaral, nawawala ang kanilang pangarap, at nahihirapan silang mag-cope sa mga pagbabagong nararanasan nila bilang adolescents. Yan yung mga consequences ng maagang pagbubuntis. At maaari natin itong ilam sa tatlong aspeto actually. So, ang isa, meron siyang impact sa education nila. Ang pangalawa naman po, yung tinatawag nilang social and economic impact. At yung last na, ito pinaka-importante ito, lalong-lalo na sa UNFPA, yung health ng isang batang ina. So, puntahan natin yung education. Tumitigil sa pag-aaral ng mga kabataang buntis. Dahil ayon sa pag-aaral, kapag nabuntis ka, napuput ka sa isang sitwasyon na ipagpapatuloy ko pa ba yung pag-aaral ko o magda-drop out na lang ako dahil maraming mga experiences sa school. Nai-stigmatize sila, nare-reject sila. So, nahihiya sila dun sa sitwasyon nila. Kaya, connected ito dun sa number two, yung binanggit ko kanina, yung social and economic conditions. So, yung consequences sa mga lalong-lalo na kapag unmarried pregnant adolescents, may rejection sa lipunan, may rejection sa partner mo, sa magulang mo, and lalong-lalo na sa peers mo. Eh, sa panahong ito, napaka-critical stage nito ng mga kaibigan mo, kaya yung miyembro mo sa grupo. So yung mga kababaihan na nagbubuntis before age 19 years old, ang nakakalungkot din dito, prone talaga sila na maka-experience ng violence within a marriage or partnership. At connected dito, mataas din yung unemployment rate kasi nga kung hindi ka nakapagtapos ng pag-aaral at dahil bata ka pa, nahihirapan silang makahanap ng trabaho. So yun yung educational consequences or impact at saka yung social and economic conditions. And yung last, punta tayo dun sa number three, yung health and well-being. So sinasabi na yung childbearing or yung pagiging batang ina, napuput sa risk ang isang batang babae, lalong-lalo na yung katawan niya, dun sa tinatawag na poor health outcomes. Pero hindi lang ito dun sa batang babae, pero patungkol din ito dun sa baby niya. Dahil dalawa na yung pinag-uusapan natin ngayon. So sabi din nila, the younger the adolescent, the greater the risk. Kaya yung adolescent mothers po na edad, lalong-lalo na yung 10 to 19 years old, are twice as likely to die of pregnancy and experience childbirth complications than women between the ages 20 to 24 years old. Ibig sabihin, dahil nagde-develop pa lang yung katawan niya sa puberty stage, kaya napaka-prone sa complications ng childbirth or kapag manganganak ka na. At napuput siya at risk, lalo-lalo na yung batang ina at yung kanyang baby. Nakakalungkot dito din, Miss Ao, tsaka Jonna, kasi pwede nilang ikamatay ito dahil sabi ko nga kanina, hindi pa ready yung katawan nila. Kaya napaka-importante yung mga panawagan natin patungkol sa buhay ng batang ina at yung kanyang baby. So in other words din, yung mga pregnant adolescents are more likely to suffer from health problems such as anemia, yan yung bumababa yung dugo ng isang batang babae, or yung tinatawag na anemic, yung iba naman na exposed sa sexually transmitted infections, or yung STIs or STD. Tapos yung may mga stories na tinatawag na postpartum hemorrhage or yung pagdudugo. Hindi mapigil ang pagdudugo, lalong-lalo na kapag ikaw ay malapit ng manganak. At ito, yung last two, sobrang i-highlight ko to kasi marami kami nare-receive na stories, messages, lalo-lalo na sa social media, yung postpartum depression. At may mga nakakalungkot na stories din. May mga batang ina na nagkukumit ng suicide. So, yun yung tatlo na aspeto. So, educational aspect, social and economic conditions, at saka yung health and well-being.
Sorry, Zai, singit lang ako. No? Nakakalungkot na nangyayari yung ganito kasi halimbawa yung sa complications sa childbirth and and pregnancy na nararanasan ng mga bata. Kung iisipin natin, even for adults or older women of reproductive age na nagbubuntis, sinasabing ang pregnancy ay inilalagay niya yung kalahati ng buhay niya, no? Parang you are always at risk if you are pregnant, even for those who are of age. So imagine a child having to go through all of this at hindi ko rin ma-imagine, no, kung ano yung magiging effect nun para sa kanyang bata na dinadala. So nakakalungkot, pero ang pinaka nakakalungkot, preventable sana yun, eh.
Yeah, actually no, Miss Ao, kung iisipin talaga natin, so preventable talaga ng adolescent pregnancy kung talagang nagtutulungan lang din talaga tayo. At ngayon, dahil pandemic, nung nag-lockdown din tayo, ang isang challenge, hindi nila alam saan sila pupunta. Hindi nila alam paano sila magpapa-check up. Hindi nila alam kung anong hospital yung open para makapag-provide ng kinatawag nilang prenatal. So, patong-patong yung challenges ng mga adolescent moms.
Kailangan din natin i-remind ang ating authorities na these are essential services na kahit na busy ang lahat sa pag-respond sa COVID-19, merong mga essential services na hindi dapat nakakalimutan kasi ito ay nang kinakailangan at nangyayari araw-araw. So, hindi dapat ma-disrupt yung services na yon.
Agree, yes. I support that po. Kaya napaka-importante nitong podcast din na nililid ng PLCPD para mag-ingay tayo at i-continue natin yung discussions at di natin makalimutan na isa sa mga issue talaga natin yung teen pregnancy or adolescent pregnancy.
Tama yan, Zai. Tapos, nabanggit mo na nga yung consequences for the individual. Ngayon, tanungin kita, ano yung consequences nitong adolescent pregnancy sa national development?
Yan, importante din po yung tanong, Ms. Au. So, with the vulnerabilities and negative impacts na nabanggit natin kanina, ang UNFPA po nag-conduct siya ng study noong 2016 kung ano ba yung malakihang consequences naman ito sa national development. At lumabas doon na ang Pilipinas ay estimated to lose as much as 33 billion pesos a year, Ms. Au, as a result of adolescent pregnancy. So, ibig sabihin, marami tayong malaki yung perang nawawala sa Pilipinas due to lost opportunities and yung tinatawag nilang total life earnings of families. Kasi kung binanggit nga natin kanina, kung hindi sila makakapag-aral, hindi sila makakapagtapos ng pag-aaral, ang epekto po nito ay potentially mahihirapan silang makapaghanap ng trabaho. Kaya yung greater impact po nun ay potentially hindi sila makakapag-contribute po in terms of financial or socio-economic sa Pilipinas. Kaya may 33 billion pesos a year tayo as a result of adolescent pregnancy due to lost opportunities. At ang lost opportunities na to ay preventable talaga. Kaya ang story ni Sam, Ms. Au, Jonna ay magiging cycle or paulit-ulit kung hindi natin ito susolusyonan or matutulungan.
Thank you, Zai, for sharing the story of Sam, no. Mahalaga rin na nakwento mo sa atin, sa amin, yung story ni Sam kasi minsan kapag naglalabas tayo ng mga statistics, ng figures, nakikita natin yung figures from the PSA, for example, parang nakakalimutan yata ng mga lawmakers at ng ibang mga implementers sa ating pamahalaan na yung mga numbers na yon ay merong mga tao behind those numbers at buhay ng tao yung pinag-uusapan natin. Hindi naman siya simpleng 24 babies na pinanganak ng 24 mothers, pero merong Sam na buhay na tao na at meron siyang kwento, meron siyang pangarap, meron siyang kinabukasan na nakasalalay sa mga ginagawa o hindi ginagawa, pinipiling hindi gawin ng ating duty bearers, no. So gusto kong balikan yung discussion dun sa policy gaps kasi nabanggit natin, meron tayong reproductive health law. At the same time, meron ngayong panukalang batas on the prevention of adolescent pregnancy. Itong reproductive health law na to, sobrang tagal to pinaglaban ng sa Kongreso at isa siyang landmark legislation. No? It's a comprehensive law that mandates the provision of a full range of family planning services. At isa sa mga pinakamahalaga na provision nitong batas na ito ay magkaroon ng comprehensive sexuality education sa lahat ng paaralan, whether private or public. At ito ay nag-extend kahit sa alternative learning systems. So, mahalaga sana no, na ipapatupad ito. Kasi ang laki sana ng information gap sa mga kabataan na nasusolusyonan kung ito ay gumugulo ngayon sa mga paaralan and even in the alternative learning system. Pero bakit nga ba hindi sapat kahit sabihin natin na we have a law? Bakit patuloy pa rin ang panawagan natin kung meron na palang ganitong batas? So, Jonna, pwede mo ba kaming tulungan kung paano natin sasagutin itong tanong na to? Kasi marami rin nagtatanong sa amin eh.
Ayun po, Miss Au. Yung batas po kasi natin ngayon ay very restrictive talaga for adolescents below 18 years old. Napakatagal na nung nandyan pa rin yung parents' consent. Ang usap-usapan niya pag may adolescent na manghingi ng or kailangan ng contraceptive. So, yung mga social workers na lang natin yung
kung may pirma para lang magkaroon nung, no, para maagapan yung need nila for those services. So, hopefully, the Adolescent Pregnancy Prevention Bill, no, ma-adjust sana na, especially for adolescents 10 to 19, na hindi na kailanganin yung parents' consent kasi sino ba naman magsasabi sa magulang mo, pa-sign po nito, ma, kasi po, kukuha ko ng contraceptive, eh, hindi nga napag-uusapan sa ba.
Tama.
Yan po. Kaya sana ma-reinforce natin na matanggal na talaga yung, or matanggal na yung parents' consent na yun. And yung sex education po, paano pa ngayon na nasa online class, online classes pa nga lang, hindi natin ma-adjust. Ang dami pa rin walang internet connectivity and yung sex education curriculum natin hindi pa fully implemented. Nasa budgeting. Ang huli ko pong kausap din sa DepEd ay nasa budgeting na daw po pero wala pa tayong nakitang rollout talaga. And yung gusto ko lang po talaga bumalik lagi sa norms and narratives na kung paano kasi po kami sa kaya from our movement itself, she decides, no, na sana hindi lang po laging abstinence yung pinag-uusapan pag sinabing sex abstinence agad, abstinence-centered. And okay, most of the time, sex-negative din yung content. So, hindi mo binibigyan talaga ng choices yung adolescents kung ano ba yung other choices nila. So, sana po na-address din ng batas yun.
Kasi yung abstinence-only messaging, kung gumagana sana yan, hindi wala sana tayong problema ngayon. Kasi feeling ko, hindi pa na magkakilala yung magulang ko, ganyan na yung messaging ng ibang mga conservative institutions dito sa lipunan natin. And yet, we have this situation. We are in this situation now. So evident, no, na it doesn't work kung ito lang. So, kailangan natin kumatok sa DepEd na please, after so many years, since December 2012, merong inuutos yung batas. Kailangan na siyang gawin.
Lalo na po ngayon na 500 a day yung teenager na nabubuntis, no? Mas natawag na po nating social emergency pero hindi pa tayo ganun ka-urgent gumalaw on this.
Kaya nga eh, ang hirap, no? Tapos ipasok ko lang din dito sa usapan na to, no, na kapag pinag-uusapan yung adolescent pregnancy, parang may mga ibang parties or ibang mga tao na parang may judgment agad or sinasabi kasi yung mga kabataan ngayon mapusok or ganito kasi sila. At nakakalungkot na these comments, these remarks even come from, minsan naririnig natin even from those coming from the government or minsan sa loob ng community ng reproductive health, may mariringan ka ng ganun na parang hindi yata tama. At kailangan din nating balikan yung kanina na sinabi kong statistic coming from the, or figure coming from the PSA na karamihan dito sa mga adolescent mothers ay nabuntis ng partner who are much older. Those who are not adolescent, so 19, older than 19, so 20 and above. So, pagtingin pa lang doon sa data na yon, kasi sobrang laki ng disparity, I think more than 70% yung disparity sa age, na for every adolescent mother, for every 10 adolescent mothers, parang tatlo lang doon or dalawa lang doon yung ang partner nila or ay yung naging ama ng kanilang anak ay adolescent din. So, merong power relations. Kailangan natin silipin na kung sino ba ang mga nagiging partner or baka nga ito ay resulta ng sexual violence or exploitative relationship. Tapos, yung isa pang important issue na gusto ko rin banggitin kasi related dito sa concern natin na unti pinag-uusapan sa Kongreso ngayon ay yung issue naman ng child marriage, which is contributory to this, pero minsan sa ibang lugar dito sa ating bansa ay siya ay resulta naman ng adolescent pregnancy. So child marriage happens in the country. Merong batas na nagsasabi na below 8, ang minimum age for marriage ay 18, pero merong ibang sectors ng lipunan na pinapayagan to marry off their children starting at puberty. So yan, gusto ko lang din i-share tong issue na to kasi baka nakakalimutan sa pag-uusap natin dito tungkol dito sa adolescent pregnancy na hindi lahat-lahat ay resulta ng consensual relationship between or among children at mas madalas hindi ito conscious decision na makipagrelasyon ka. So yun. Zai, aside from the gaps in the law na binabanggit kanina pa, no, tinulungan tayo ni Jonna kung ano yung mga yun, like yung requirement for parental consent, tapos non-implementation ng sexuality education. Ano pa yung ibang pwedeng gawin ng ating mga duty bearers? At ang areas pa kaya pwede magkaroon ng improvements?
Magandang tanong po yan at kung sila ay nakikinig ngayon, gusto natin talagang grab yung opportunity na sabihin yung ating mga kind recommendations for the past years ng ating pakikibaka sa teen pregnancy or adolescent pregnancy. Pero gusto ko munang susugan yung binanggit niyo po kanina, yung bago po yung tanong. Importante yun na na-highlight mo, Miss Awe, yung power relations, yung age gap ngayon ng partners ng mga adolescent moms, ang layo. At minention din kanina ni Jonah yun, maganda siyang pag-aralan. Ano yung nangyayari in terms of experiences ng mga adolescents? Bakit kaya napuput sila dun sa sitwasyon na gano'n na mas matanda yung partners nila? And I'm so sure marami na rin yung mga organizations ang tumitingin. At kung maalala ko po, tama ba, Miss Ao, Jonah, yung age of sexual debut natin sa Pilipinas ay 12 years old?
Totoo, mm-hmm. Ate.
Yeah, iba ang interesting lang kasi yung mga batas natin hindi nagmamatch. Kasi kung ang sexual debut ng Pilipinas ay 12 years old, ang aga po nun, parang grade 6. Pero kapag mag-access ka naman ng services, kailangan 18 years old and above ka, no? Kailangan may parental consent. Pwede kang makipag-sex ng 12 years old. Parang ganito lang kapag titignan mo siya. Pwede kang makapag-sex ng 12 kasi potentially pwedeng payagan yun ng batas dahil yun yung age of sexual debut ng Pilipinas. Pero hindi ka naman pwedeng mag-access ka ng health services po kapag 18 years old and below. Oops, sorry. Kailangan mo muna ng parental consent. Oops, sorry. Kailangan ganito yung mga requirement. Maganda siyang pagnilayan ng mga ating mga policymakers po, no?
Actually, Zai, merong update din dito, no, na related. Baka pwede nating isingit briefly na ongoing ngayon yung deliberation sa House and Senate na raising the age of sexual consent to 16 para naman kahit paano mai-align natin sa hindi lang sa international standards kundi sa realidad ng na nangyayari na at 12, hindi pa naman talaga natin kayang sabihin na kayang magbigay ng consent, no, ng mga bata. Tapos yun nga, maganda yung na-highlight mo na wala kang parang sinasabi ng batas na sige, pwede ka na magbigay ng consent to have sex. Pero wala ka namang access to services that protect you. So, malaking kabalintunaan ba yung tawag doon? Pero yun yung isang puzzle, no, sa ating mga batas na kailangan aralin mabuti ng ating mga lawmakers. So, please continue.
Yeah, happy po na yung update nyo na nire-revisit, nire-review, at potentially ma-revise yung ating yung law specifically dun sa pag-raise ng age ng pagbibigay ng consent to sex. Salamat po dun sa update. So, maganda lang siyang reflection based sa ating chikahan at discussion. So, dun po sa questions nyo, Miss Ao, kung naririnig tayo ng ating mga duty bearers and decision makers at kung nasa harapan natin sila ngayon, ano yung pwede pa nating i-improve or pwede pa nilang i-take into consideration? For the past ilang years na ba? 15 years old ako nung nag-start ako mag-volunteer sa advocacy natin on adolescent sex and reproductive health. For the past years, ito po yung mga reflections ko. So, tatlong bagay lang. Una, improvements in action of executive agencies. Meaning, yung mga executive agencies natin tulad ng DepEd, na na-highlight na natin mula pa nung umpisa, Department of Health, DSWD, PAPOM. So, in fairness po sa kanila, no, in due respect, they are doing a lot of things on adolescent health and development. Pero ang ating panawagan lang, siguro i-fast track natin yung ating mga interventions dahil araw-araw may 500 adolescent moms tayo sa Pilipinas. May 24 babies na pinapanganak sa loob lang ng isang oras. Napaka-importante i-fast track natin. At yung convergence ng mga executive agencies, napaka-importante. And I believe there are existing technical working groups sa national level and even regional level. Maybe it's really high time talaga na bilisan natin dahil baka mapang-iwanan na tayo sa ating mga datos. So, can improve natin yung action points at yung meaningful convergence natin sa isa't isa. Specifically on comprehensive sexuality education that last 2018 nag-release ang DepEd ng isang department memorandum for the implementation at ang United Nations Population Fund po ay closely providing technical assistance para i-implement ito. At ang DOH din, yung Adolescent Family Health Facilities, na pag continuous po ang pag-identify nila at pag-improve nila on from level 1 to level 3. So, napaka-importante niyan that because adolescents, mga kabataang Pilipino po ay nangangailangan talaga ng serbisyo. Lalong-lalo na po ngayon at during pandemic. Pero aside po dun sa mga usual na interventions or programs, Miss Awen, Jonna, siguro ang gusto ko lang din i-highlight, yung parenting program, wala talagang, medyo masasabi kong mahina tayo sa program patungkol sa mga parents. At kung binabanggit kanina, gusto kong i-pick up, sabi ni Jonna, importanteng magmumula sa pamilya. At kung ang mga parents natin ay equipped at capacitated on how to handle, you know, concerns on adolescent health, malaking bagay po siguro. Yan po yung number one. Number two po, ito napakalaking resource po nila, no, in terms of being a duty bearers, Ms. Ao and Jonna, yung convergence with the League of Cities, Municipalities, and Provinces. Siguro from their end, napaka-importante strengthen yung adolescent and youth programming at the local government. May mga iilan tayong best practices, pero maganda sana kung i-touch natin yung grupong ito, yung mga League of Cities, Municipalities, and Provinces. Kasi sila yung tatay ng mga local government units or nanay. Kung sila din ay on board dito sa ating issues on adolescent pregnancies, maganda po sila maging ally. And number three, dahil ang mga adolescents ay continuously changing, alam ni may kapatid na John na yan, siguro ang pinaka-importante, yung know your audience sa ating mga duty bearers tsaka lawmakers. Yeah, diba, John? Tama ba ako?
Totoo yan.
So, kailangan nilang kilalanin kasi ever-changing talaga ang ating 10 to 24 years old or 10 to 19 years old, you need to know them best. So you need to make meaningful dialogues. Kausapin niyo po sila. We need to be innovative and creative kung paano natin sila i-reach, paano natin sila makikilala. At ang digital technology, napakagandang resource niyan para mas ma-reach out natin sila. So, yun po yung tatlo, Ms. Ao. So, improvement ng action sa executive agencies, number one. Number two, convergence with the League of Cities, Municipalities, and Provinces. And yung number three, know your audience. Kilalanin niyo po ang ating mga kabataan ngayon.
Yan. Ang ganda ng mga sinabi mo, Zai, kasi bukod sa reminder sa ating mga implementing agencies at the executive, gustong-gusto ko yung role ng local government units kasi sila naman yung nasa front lines pagdating sa service provision. At yung huli na knowing your audience, related to sa kasunod kong tanong sa inyong dalawa. Kasi isa sa mga kritisismo sa, hindi lang sa program, no, kundi sa paggawa ng policy ay parang marami tayong sinasabi at ginagawa at mensahe para sa young people that do not resonate, that they don't necessarily resonate with young people if they are communicated at all. So kung may ginagawa man, parang hindi tumatagos. At parang hindi kilala, sabi nga nila. Parang hindi nyo kilala kung sinong kinakausap nyo. Ano kaya yung pwede nating gawin, no, para maging effective ang ating pakikipagtalakayan or pakikipagtalastasan sa ating audience, who are the young people of today?
Miss Ao, gusto ko talaga i-highlight yung huling nabanggit ni Ate Zai na kailangan talaga adaptive tayo sa current na audience natin. For example, yung word na young people, parang laging na-homogenize, parang isang klase lang ng tao yung kausap natin na sana maintindihan ng ating duty bearers and LGUs and implementers, no, na at this issue, lalo na sa adolescent pregnancy, mahalaga na emphasize talaga natin yung 10 to 19 years old na iba siya sa 20 and above, no, iba yung klase ng nararanasan nila na issue, especially on teenage pregnancy. And sana nare-reflect talaga yun sa mga polisiya na capable din naman sila ng informed decisions kung bibigyan po natin sila nung agency na yun. At kailangan, sana po ma-institutionalize, no, sana mailagay sa, na may involvement talaga yung adolescents. Siguro, 20 and above, napakarami po nating youth advocates. Kailangan pa nating magpalawak ng adolescent who are also advocates on teenage pregnancy. And kailangan po talaga ng, you know, training and support and capacity building for adolescents. And yung nakikita ko pong kulang ay, siguro kulang pa sa participatory mechanism, no? Yung lagi nating nababanggit na sila yung audience, pero kailangan din po namin mag-participate, hindi lang po kami audience.
Tama, so, tama.
Yes. Kailangan ng participatory mechanism or at least research para makita natin yung extent ng mga policy na to. Yung parents consent, ano kaya extent yung nangyari sa isang teenage mother, for example. And culturally sensitive, kagaya po nung sa teenage child marriage, no? Alam po natin ibang kultura din yung kausap natin on that. So, kailangan culturally sensitive yung mga information. And makonect po talaga natin tong campaigns and policies sa services. So, dapat mag-reflect talaga siya on an LGU and non-government level and government level.
Thank you, Jonna. So, ngayon pakinggan naman natin si Zai. Bakit ba kailangan pakinggan ng lawmakers at ng implementers ang boses at bakit kailangan ma-involve ang mga kabataan pagdating sa mga issue na nakaka-apekto sa kanilang buhay?
Susugan ko yung binanggit ni John na kanina magaganda yung points niya talaga, yung lalong-lalo na yung point niya on continuous capacity building and meaningful participation. Kailangan nating, kung ayaw nating makontinue yung cycle ng teen pregnancy, pero dapat makontinue natin yung cycle ng meaningful participation. Makontinue natin yung cycle ng gathering voices, meaningfully involve them, lalong-lalo na sa mga bagay na patungkol sa kanila. Kaya maganda po yung points ni John na niris na sa atin. So yung question ni Ms. Au, bakit the lawmakers and program implementers need to listen to and involve young people? Meaning, interesting yung kapag pinag-uusapan to, ang analogy ko lang lagi, parang magulang at anak relationship. At ang isang component na para maging successful yung relationship ng isang magulang at anak, dapat may meaningful communication. Pero hindi lang siya nagtatapos dun sa pakikinig or pag-listen ng magulang sa anak. Importante din may mga action points silang dalawa together para kung ano man yung napag-usapan nila, i-implement nila together. So yun yung lagi kong naiisip kapag pinag-uusapan to kung bakit importanteng makinig tayo sa kabataan, bakit importanteng involve natin sila kasi in essence, ang mga duty bearers or policy makers, they are the parents of this nation. Itong mga kabataan at kanilang anak. Kung walang magandang relationship sa ganong analogy, mahihirapan talaga yung tayo in terms of meaningfully involve young people. At ang Pilipinas po, specifically yung 10 to 24 years old natin, ay napakalaking resource dahil gusto ko lang i-emphasize na ang mga kabataang Pilipino, they comprise almost half of 100 plus million population in the Philippines. They are powerful and they are young. So, pwede nilang ibaliktad yung mga anak, yung mga stories sa pamamagitan ng kanilang boses, lalong-lalo na kung consolidated. At di po ba kapag meron tayong kapag halalan na or election period, napaka-importante yung panawagan nating makilahok ang mga kabataan dahil ang laki ng bulk nila in terms of numbers sa ating population. Kaya napaka-importante yung pakinggan sila. And with this huge number of young people po, no, kapag inclusive yung ating mga interventions and programs, automatic yan yung economic growth and sustainability ng isang bansa tulad ng Pilipinas. Patungkol sa kanyang health, education, in terms of livelihood and skills development. At if we continue providing safe space and opportunities, lalo-lalo na sa mga kabataan, concerns lalo na pag pinapakinggan natin yung concerns nila, kapag ini-involve natin sila sa kanilang mga activities and action point, tinutulungan din po natin ang mga kabataan na mamitigate yung challenges and difficulties in life. And we enable young people to shape their own and this country's better future. Yung Philippines' better future po. And lastly po dito sa question, kapag nag-invest tayo sa 10 to 24 years old, ma-achieve natin hopefully and technically the 17 Sustainable Development Goals. At yung meron silang 169 targets. Kasi ang bawat items or ang bawat SDG or your Sustainable Development Goals ay connected somehow directly and indirectly po sa buhay ng 10 to 24 years old. At kapag ang mga kabataan ay healthy, physically, emotionally, psychologically, we can say or we are confident na they can take good care of themselves, they can take good care of the community, and they can take good care of the future. So yun po, Ms. Au and Jonna, yung reflection ko din sa question na yan.
Thank you, Jonna and Zaino. Sana may nakikinig sa atin ngayon na lawmakers at maisapuso nila itong mga sagot niya dito. Kasi mas madalas nangyayari ay kung hindi man token participation ay parang nababaliwala talaga yung boses ng mga kabataan. Even sa pag-uusap ng mga bagay na sila talaga yung key affected population. So sana talaga may nakikinig sa atin ngayon na lawmakers. At bago ko kayo hinga ng inyong mga concluding statements at mga panawagan, gusto ko lang muna mag-promote ng event na sama-sama naman actually yung mga organisasyon natin. Samahan nyo po kami para sa mga listeners natin. Samahan nyo po kami next week, September 11, Friday at 7 p.m. sa Facebook pages ng PLCPD, UNFPA at ng iba pang mga partners. PLCPD, UNFPA, and She Decides and many other organizations got together for the No More Children Having Children campaign in partnership with the Girl Defenders Alliance. this alliance naman works together to take action on violence against women and girls. Sa September 11, we will stage Isang Tinig, a concert rally for adolescent reproductive health. And through this concert rally, ay palalakasin po namin. So we will amplify and intensify our calls for the implementation of CSE. Bukod dito, nananawagan tayo for meaningful budgets for the implementation of the reproductive health law. Kasama na dito yung hindi lang family planning, no, kundi yung budget for DepEd para finally magawa nila yung comprehensive sexuality education. At ang panawagan natin sa Kongreso na sana ay maisabatas ang mga panukala on the prevention of adolescent pregnancy and ending child marriage. At ihabol ko na lang din dahil napag-usapan kanina yung raising the age of sexual consent. So ngayon, meron tayong 22 partners who are coming together from all over the country ito, simula Luzon hanggang Mindanao, who have signified their support for the campaign at sabay-sabay na nananawagan first and foremost sa Kongreso, sa DepEd at sa iba pang implementers ng batas para umaksyon sa mga bagay na supposedly ay preventable, kagaya ng pinag-usapan natin ngayon, adolescent pregnancy at child marriage. At dito sa concert rally na ito, sasamahan tayo ng artists, advocates, and musicians who believe in this advocacy. Kasama natin ang For the Love, si Yumi Laksamana, Clara Benin, Bita and the Botflies, Sid Hartha, Janoy Danau, paborito ko to, yeah. Ebe Dancel, at si Hen Constantino. So, swerte natin kasama natin ang mga talented artists na to.
Naalala ko, yung mga previews, mga concert niya rin po sa PLCT. So at least ngayon, virtually, pero nakocontinue pa rin. So nakaka-excite. I'll be there po, Miss Au.
Thank you, Zai. At syempre kasama natin si Jonah doon dahil partner din ang She Decides doon sa event. At kinikilala kasi natin ang arts and music na isang mahalagang medium kung paano natin i-communicate sa ating mga stakeholders ang mahalagang mensahe na prevention of adolescent pregnancy. So sana ay samahan tayo ng ating mga listeners dun sa concert rally sa September 11. So at this point, I'd like to invite Jonna to share her final words to our listeners, mga ka-SKL natin. At sana nakikinig din yung mga mambabatas natin at mga program implementers para marinig nila yung mensahe ni Jonna. Jonna, please.
Yes, Miss Au. So sa event sa September 11, talagang mag-invite tayo ng maraming young people and adolescents, no? And napakaganda talaga na hindi lang advocates yung nandun, kundi creatives and musicians and artists. And sana yun po, wag tayong tumigil na pag-usapan talaga yung usapin ng adolescent pregnancy and kamustahin po natin yung ating mga kilalang dalagang ina or batang ina at maging aware po tayo sa naranasan nila and always be there for them kasi lalo na ngayong pandemic, hindi lang yung pregnancy or yung babies yung kanilang problema ngayon or issues. Marami pang cross-cutting na issues ngayong pandemic. And sana when we talk about this narratives and stories, ma-highlight talaga natin yung totoong nangyayari and yung lived experience. And for our legislators po, paulit-ulit na banggit namin ni Ate Zai kanina ni Miss Au na may pasa tong Teenage Pregnancy Prevention Bill and ma-amend kung ano man yung mga dapat i-amend sa RH law at ma-implement na hopefully this year, next year, ang sexuality education. And for all young people and youth organizations and especially for non-government organizations, sana po hindi nasa sideline yung participation ng young people. Patuloy pa rin sanang kaming ma-involve both governance and non-government.
Salamat, Jonna. At ngayon, pakinggan natin si Zai sa panawagan niya sa ating mga tagapakinig.
Thank you, Miss Au and Jonna, for sharing your panawagan or call to action. On my end, I will start my message to our legislators and other decision makers in the government. So mag-iiwan po ako ng acronym na YOUTH. Y-O-U-T-H. So umpisan po natin sa Y. So you have the power to realize the rights of adolescents and young people with universal access to comprehensive SRH, including HIV and AIDS information and services during normal or even humanitarian emergencies. Dahil sa Pilipinas, hindi lang natin pinag-uusapan yung day-to-day, pero nakakaranas din po tayo ng mga iba't ibang humanitarian emergencies tulad ng typhoon, bagyo. And include this as part of the core of the universal healthcare. And even yung panawagan po namin na sana masusugan na yung bill on prevention of adolescent pregnancy sa Pilipinas. NO ordered to remove all barriers in policies and laws that prevents the adolescent from accessing services. Kinyo binanggit po natin kanina na magandang revisit pa yung mga laws natin dahil mukhang hindi sila nagmamatch in terms of providing the full rights of adolescents, yung 10 to 19 years old sa Pilipinas. Yung letter U, understand and champion the implementation of comprehensive sexuality education in the community sa ating mga out-of-school youths and sa schools, sa ating mga in-school youths. Letter D po, test and generate better data and disaggregated data with stronger measurement and reporting mechanisms. So dito, sana mas makakita pa tayo ng numero or datos na kung saan mag-highlight po pag pinag-usapan natin ng mga kabataang Pilipinas. And last po, para makomplete yung youth, harvest a better future if you make commitment to continue investing to adolescents and young people. Dahil kapag na-achieve po natin yung YOUTH, magandang investment po yan, that will bring a triple dividend sa tinatawag nating demographic dividend. Sa tatlo siya kasi, ito yung for adolescents now, for adolescents' future lives, and for adolescents sa next generation. So yan po yung panawagan ko sa ating mga legislators, ating decision makers in the government. Huwag niyo pong kakalimutan yung youth. At sa ating public naman po na nakikinig ngayon, sana po continue to believe in the power of the youth today. Support their cause, invest in their education, health, and well-being, and livelihood. Empathize, don't stigmatize. Also, be fully informed and spread correct information on adolescent sexual and reproductive health at yung consequences of adolescent pregnancy, yung mga napag-usapan po natin ngayong araw. And if you know someone who needs information and services, you can check out the Facebook account of UNFPA Philippines. So ulitin ko po, UNFPA Philippines. So pwede po kayo mag-message doon. As well as itong Facebook account na to or website, yung rhcare.info. So ulitin ko po, rhcare.info. Pwede lang po kayo mag-message, magtanong, mag-share ng insights dun sa dalawang Facebook accounts na binanggit. And lastly, para sa mga kabataan, hindi ko naman sasabi kasi youth ako kasi lumampas na ako dun sa definition. Pero in spirit, I will always be a young person. So ang aking panawagan sa inyo, isa-share ko lang yung aking favorite quotation. So sabi niya, tell me I forget, show me I remember, involve me I understand. In order for me to understand fully kung ano ba yung importansya ng advocacy ng ito patungkol sa ating mga adult. Kaya wag kayong titigil na sana makita ko. Use your voice, powerful voice, to make a beautiful future. So together with you, no more children having children. Kaya maraming pong salamat.
Thank you, Zai, for your call to action and message to our listeners. Ganun din kay Jonna, no? Salamat, Jonna, sa mga iniwan mong mensahe sa ating mga tagapakinig at sa inyong dalawa for spending your time with me today and helping our listeners understand more about the issue. Nakakatuwa talaga, alam nyo, kapag meron kaming kinakausap na empowered young people and young women. At nagiging inspirasyon ito para sa amin, para lalong paghusayan ang ating pakikipag-ugnayan sa mga mambabatas at mga tagapagpatupad ng batas. And this episode of SKL is just one of the many efforts that we're continuously doing to call the attention of our lawmakers on urgent issues, especially ngayong panahon ng pandemya na merong mas mataas na risks for both unplanned pregnancy and sexual and gender-based violence. So, sama-sama tayong nagmamatsyag at nananawagan din na these are essential services at hindi dapat nakakalimutan kahit nasa gitna tayo ng pandemya. And we also appeal to our listeners to join us as we work to see a future with no more children having children and a generation of girl defenders. And to know more about this campaign and to weigh in on the conversation, please follow PLCPD on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at PLCPD1989. At gamitin po natin ang hashtags na No More Children Having Children and hashtag Girl Defender. At muli po, this is Au Kilala. Magkita-kita tayo sa September 11 para sa malaking concert rally for adolescent health. At samahan nyo kami sa mga susunod na episodes ng SKL, the UHD podcast. At sana sa susunod na episodes, mapag-usapan natin yung dalawang nabanggit natin na related issues dito, yung child marriage and raising the age of consent sa Pilipinas. So muli po, dito natin tinatapos ang episode. Magandang hapon sa lahat.
Sa dambana ng katotohanan, sa ngalan ng katarungan, ihahayag pangarap at mithi ng bayan kong may